You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
From the diamond to the clubhouse to the front office, this is the show that feeds the passion for all Twins fans. It's Inside Twins. Inside Twins is sponsored by Killebrew Root Beer. Locally owned and operated, it's how memories are created and legends are made.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Inside Twins. It is brought to you, as mentioned, by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. How memories are created, legends are made. Chris Atterbury here at Target Field, joined in studio today by Assistant General Manager Daniel Adler. He drew the short straw. He joins us here for 30 minutes as we try to get a wide variety of voices on this program from week to week. And Daniel, welcome. First of all, it's great to see you. We have exchanged many messages. We've not actually gotten to see each other in quite some time, so this is kind of fun. For me on a personal level, but it hasn't been a fun time for you guys in the front office. This is a team that was constructed to certainly compete in the division for a third straight crown, if not for a World Series. And as we sit here today approaching the 60-game mark, 23 and 35, not where anybody imagined. And that's where we have to start, because this is a front office that from the beginning has talked about process and looking at now, looking at the future, looking at the long-term future health of this organization, but that process would lead you there. So I'll ask you straight up, when things don't go well for the big league club, do you then just start re-examining all of those processes?
Yeah, I think we have to. When the results are like this, especially compared to what we expected coming into the season, I think we have to look at all of our processes. And for me, that really starts when you look at the record, it's underwhelming. Try to break down. It's very easy to sit here in a position like mine and say, okay, we've just had bad luck. Our record is 2-8 in extra inning games. We haven't hit well with runners in scoring position. And that's been a big part of it. And so we want to say, okay, what portion of this is just bad luck, and these are things that turn around, and unfortunately we've just drawn the short straw. That's one element. But then the other element is we need to dig deeper and say, okay, what are the things that we control or that we've seen from players that just aren't performing to our expectations, and things that will persist, and not just, okay, yeah, we hit that. Instead of getting a walk and then a home run, we hit a home run first and got a walk, so it's one run instead of two. Those are the luck pieces, but then there's also other elements where we're looking at players. Hey, is this guy's velocity down? Is his movement down? Is he less sharp? And so we need to do that, and we're looking at that at the major league level, and then we're also looking at that at the minor league level. When there's things, we have a lot of the same philosophies in the major leagues and the minor leagues. When there's things that are not working in the majors, it's easy to say, okay, our whole philosophy is wrong. But then if you see them still working in the minors, maybe there's more to it. We need to dig even deeper. So we're looking at really every element of the organization and trying to figure out, okay, where have we gone wrong and where have we been legitimately unlucky? And as with most underwhelming results, it's a mix. Mm-hmm. And to me, a mark of a good organization is when you're doing well, you should be doing the same things.
That's a good point.
When we won 102 games in 2019, we said, okay, these are the things that worked out better than we thought. Which of these were just good luck that we can't expect to continue? And which of these things do we think will persist? And so I think that's our job, is to figure out what areas do we control and how can we improve them?
As you re-examine those processes, and I think it's a great point that when you do well, you should be doing the same thing. You should constantly be re-evaluating if you're doing well because you're such geniuses that you had it all right, or is there an element where it went right? And if it's going wrong, is it because you suddenly got stupid, or was there an element in there as well? Do you split it up into silos like, okay, evaluation, we brought these five guys in expecting this and we haven't gotten it. Why? But we developed these guys under the auspices that this would work at the big league level. It has or hasn't. Why? Do you have to divvy it up that way, or is it a 30,000-foot view?
Probably. I think we slice and dice from almost every possible angle. We'll say, okay, what's happening with all of our hitters? Are there any trends common to these guys and things that we can change about our approach, or certain types of players that maybe we as an organization overvalued or undervalued, because we are, look, we have systems, both our scouts and our analytical systems, like certain types of players, and we end up with those players. And we may say, hey, there's been changes in the game, and these guys are no longer as valuable as we thought. People have caught up to what they were doing, and then we have to take a look and figure out, okay, maybe we need to change some of our systems in terms of who we want to acquire. But it's also really hard when we don't have that much information, and injuries, which are something that some mix of luck and skill. Some players are more injury prone. There's certainly plenty of things we can do on the injury prevention front, but at the end of the day, they have a huge impact, and they're not necessarily, there's something that can come in bunches and really foul things up, as you see right now when we're running out in outfield today with, I think, nobody who is at least in a starting type position for us to begin the year.
Yeah, we haven't seen the lineup, so you know, we just broke a scoop there, so that was probably good.
I'm mostly working off the fact just that the Arias, Buxton, and Kepler are all on the IL, so I don't think I'm breaking anything too interesting there.
On that front, we're going to talk about injuries next segment, as well as some of the other trends in the league, including this idea that the pitcher's performance has been enhanced and what's going to be done on the enforcement angle. But on the performance front, yes, it's great to have those processes in place for long-term health. You have to do it. But immediately, you've got a team that's, whatever it is, 12 games under, and you're trying to fill a stadium and be competitive the rest of the way. How do you then, and it comes back to balance, every single one of these topics comes back to balance, how do you balance being too reactionary with your big league club, or just looking around and being, what could we even do with our big league club? I want player X out of the rotation. Okay, well, who's left? You've used every single guy on your 40-man, except for Blazevic, who just pitched for the first time on Saturday night, and I think Duran, who's just pitched a couple times in St. Paul. It's not as if you have 10 guys on your 40-man or 10 guys who are just bursting with major league readiness that you can plug in and play here.
Yeah, it's challenging, and I think early in the year, especially as the bullpen was struggling, you saw we were churning some of those back into the bullpen guys. And I think Jeremy Zoll at one point said, you know, we seem to be trying to solve the front end of our bullpen problem by continually churning the back end of our bullpen. And that's probably, you know, it lets us feel like, okay, we're taking action, but that's probably not really going to solve our problems. But yeah, it is.
Yeah, the problem
it is
was
tough.
Solved if the guys who were supposed to be good performed like they always have, right?
Exactly, yeah. So moving those back end guys, whether it's options or calling up minor league free agents, and we've been creative. We're every day we're scouring the waiver wire trying to figure out, are there some guys who can help us out? But at the end of the day, those are probably not the guys pitching in really high leverage situations, so it's likely not going to be what solves our problems. Now, in a best case scenario, somebody like Luke Farrell comes up and works himself into some of those higher leverage situations. And we've seen relievers are just so incredibly variable that something can click for a guy and he can have a really good stretch that he hasn't in his career. But yeah, generally that's unfortunately kind of, if you look at our 40 man, we've got Bailey Ober starting today, which is probably a little earlier than we expected him to make starts, but.
And Griffin Jack's probably looming if something happens early. Another guy who probably would not expect to be here just yet.
Exactly. But I think the the good news with that, from my perspective, is these are guys, both Jax and Ober, they're not the, you know, number one prospect, Baseball America, something like that. But they're guys who we think have a real chance to be contributors to our team. And now we're going to get a chance to see what they can do. And so I think that is productive. And I'd rather see, just on a personal level, I'd rather see us kind of experiment and find out, hey, can we find a guy? Maybe Ober's part of our rotation plans for the next, you know, 5-7 years. So giving him some opportunities, and Lewis Thorpe, who's unfortunately dealing with some injuries right now, getting him into some spot starts. I think these are valuable things for, number one, they could contribute this year and help us win right now. But then number two, as we figure out our long-term plan, I can't guarantee any of the Thorpe, Ober, Jax, Dobnak, Smeltzer, you know, I can't guarantee and say lock it up, one of those guys is going to be in our rotation for the next 5 years. However, of that group, I feel pretty good that somebody hopefully pops up and is a really consistent contributor for us. And so we're going to get a chance to find out.
And you have to find out, right? Because just waiting doesn't work. You have to find out at some point, okay, we think, but you can't know until you actually put them in that situation.
Yeah, the thing that's really challenging with almost all of these guys, especially people like Ober and Jax and Bolazovic, I think all these guys missing that extra year, they probably would all have many more AA, AAA innings under their belt. So it's really hard for us, frankly, somewhat of an unprecedented situation. You can go back to the guys who missed time during World War II, but kind of hard to know exactly how to treat these guys in terms of development. You know, Ober pitched a decent number. I think it was 25-ish innings in AA in 2019. Under normal circumstances, he's probably starting 20 in AA and then pitching a whole lot in AAA. So this wouldn't even seem at all abnormal to have a guy come up. It would be kind of right on schedule. Unfortunately, just in terms of game innings, he hasn't had that much experience.
Knowing that there was going to be that gap in experience, did that shade what you guys did in the offseason, where the plan seemed to be to get a bunch of guys who were kind of AAA-ish guys and hope that a couple of them clicked?
I think so. That was certainly, I think, the hope. We put a ton of time into our minor league free agency process to find guys who could be there as depth and to really hopefully not have to rush. And it, you know, may feel like somebody like Ober has been rushed, but I think at least our first line of defense was the Luke Farrells and Brandon Waddell, guys like that. And we built up a good stable now. Unfortunately, as you pointed out, at this point, we've just had so many injuries that we've more or less run through those guys, and we are, you know, adding Griffin Jacks to the roster.
Daniel Adler is our guest. It is Inside Twins. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer. We're going to hit on some of the hot topics around Major League Baseball right now. Injuries and sticky stuff. Are they related, perhaps? All of that coming up next on your home for Twins Baseball. Welcome back to Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. How memories are created, legends are made. We've got the pregame lineup card coming up next, and as mentioned, Bailey Ober will start against Brady Singer and the Royals. Daniel Adler is in studio. Let's hit the hot topics, sticky stuff. Josh Donaldson has been right in the middle of it. We heard from him yesterday. Certainly appreciated his very candid, logical explanation of kind of how he saw it as a hitter. Some pitchers don't agree, some do. A lot of the stuff from the league says we're looking at numbers, we're looking at data, we're going to be very Pinkerton-ish on this, like be detectives, asking teams to tell them where guys hide stuff. Where do the front offices stand on this? Because A, not all front offices are oblivious to what's going on, and B, you guys have the data. Are the leagues asking you for help, and do you think this will help the overall quality of the game?
A lot of questions there. So I guess the first one I'll tackle kind of is the league asking us for help. They have the league has access to all of our ball flight data, both, you know, ball off the bat and also how it's moving. And so the information we're looking at on our pitchers is very, very similar to them. So you can see when a guy's spin rate has maybe jumped up in a somewhat unbelievable level.
Do you guys flag that internally? Do you send that down to the dugout and say, hey, this guy just went from 0 to 60 really fast. Be ready.
We don't have that. We do have in-game reports that our coaches will get, where we'll look and say, hey, here's how the guy's pitch is moving. We don't specifically say, okay, hey, he's using sticky stuff today. But we will show, hey, this guy's getting better movement than he has historically. Mm-hmm. Now, again, there's enough different factors that you can't definitively say without, you know, actually having access to the ball. You can't definitively say, okay, this guy is using some kind of contraband. But as a front office, it is, you know, I think Josh is likening it to the steroid era for hitters. As a front office, it's really hard for us to know, okay, is this a guy who is benefiting from something that that is illegal and will probably very soon be clamp down upon, or is this somebody who's just made some changes? You know, there's so many. It's not just the sticky stuff that's making pitchers better. Mm-hmm. We've learned so much about which pitches are effective, how to design those pitches. I'm sure you've seen kind of the Edgertronic cameras, thousands of frames per second, and you can see exactly how the ball is coming off of a guy's fingertips and say, hey, let's grip it just slightly different. So it's gotten really advanced. Sticky stuff aside, pitching has just gotten really, really smart. Guys are throwing harder than ever. Perhaps that is linked to some of the injuries, which are higher than ever. But pitchers have just gotten really, really good. And maybe I'm naive. I don't know which players are using illegal stuff. But I firmly believe the vast majority of the gains are much more related to different training methods, understanding which pitches are more effective. You look league-wide, just over the last few years, fastball and sinker usage is down pretty substantially. You know, that used to be kind of in the 60-ish percent range. Now that's league-wide, that's probably about 50-ish percent. And those pitches historically were more effective. Now that we're throwing them more frequently, there's maybe a little bit of an equilibrium that we're finding. But there's so many different factors. So to just say this run environment is because guys are getting more sophisticated with sticky stuff, I think that's probably not telling the whole story. There's so many different things that pitchers are doing today to make them successful.
But there has to be something to guys like Cruz or Donaldson who have seen a billion balls come out of a pitcher's hand, nasty stuff or average stuff, and looking at it and saying, that ball's not moving the way baseballs normally move. Like, there has to be something to that, right?
I think so. I mean, those guys are incredible pros, and what they are, the information they're taking in is unbelievable. And they're if they are saying that and saying, hey, the ball is just coming out differently, I do think that's something worth that MLB should be investigating.
And are.
And they are, yes. So,
yeah, we'll see where that goes. Injuries. Let's talk about that, because obviously the Twins have been besieged by injuries. We had Mike Petriello on, and he said the Twins were actually, amazingly, one of the healthier teams. We also know, and this doesn't get talked about as much, that injuries in the minor leagues are rampant. Guys haven't played for a year. I guess you could see that. We talk about evaluating processes. I know from the moment that this administration took over, a lot of talk about trying to make the medical and the preparation part of it a competitive advantage for this organization. Those processes are dealing with some of the most difficult circumstances they've had. Where are we in terms of trying to figure out how much of this is bad luck, how much of this we could affect positively and preventatively?
Yeah, I mean, I think throughout baseball, we have a large enough sample. We're on track to, you know, shatter every injury record, and taking COVID IL placements out of the data. We're on track to just shatter all those records, and that you don't need any fancy
soft tissue.
Yeah, you don't need a fancy statistical test to know. Soft tissue injuries, I think, are, you know, more than double previous years, and so we're all kind of searching for answers right now. You know, some theories that the short season last year got guys out of their routine, and injuries were up last year in that fast ramp up,
and the stop and start,
and the stop and start. I mean, there's a lot of questions, but it is odd that this year, which has kind of been a more normal ramp up, has had so many more injuries. And again, does that come back to these new training methods? I mean, players, the expectations we have for players are different, and they're playing, I don't want to say playing harder, but they're, you know, I think we're asking them to do things in shorter bursts and, you know, not relying on pitchers to throw 200, 300 innings, which, you know, if you go back, they actually used to do. So all those things may play a role. In terms of our own internal assessments, Jeremy Zoll oversees our performance team, works closely with Dr. Christopher Camp, who's at Mayo, and Michael Salazar, our head trainer. And I think we're all digging into this. We have multiple members of our research and development group studying injuries. What can we learn? But the one thing that's really hard is when we study injuries, if we're using past data, it seems like the environment, for whatever reason, has changed really significantly. So it's hard for us. You know, we have models where we try to predict injury, try to say, here's a guy who's at a certain level of risk. Well, it seems like just as a population, that risk is much, much higher now. And I think we're trying to figure out what is driving that. But this is a huge, huge issue throughout baseball.
Yeah, and whoever can figure it out the fastest, if that's possible, certainly will have an advantage there. It's Daniel Adler. We've been long-winded. We got one short segment coming up next to finish things up on your home for Twins baseball. The show is Inside Twins. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. How memories are created, legends are made. Daniel Adler, kind enough to be in studio. We have covered a lot of ground. Daniel, we've gone a little long, thanks to me, in the first couple segments. So on a final thought, a lot of this has been doom and gloom, all these things that have gone wrong that we have to deal with. Let's end on a positive. Things that go poorly can lead to opportunity in this game. We've seen a lot of these young guys come up and play in the big leagues as part of a developmental-minded front office. That has to make you guys smile in the midst of some of this this chaos, I would guess.
Yeah, kind of rare bright spots for us that some guys, I think both Alex Kirilloff, Trevor Larnach, probably pressed into major league service a little faster than we expected due to injuries. But both those guys who we've counted on for years as being major, major contributors, both have gotten off to really, really nice starts. And that's really exciting to see. Nick Gordon, somebody who, when you looked at our infield depth coming into the year, probably thought, okay, how is he going to find a way to play? And we've been able to get him into games and hopefully see him as somebody who can be, a nice player for us, whether it's a utility role or some type of everyday role, but somebody who could be a nice contributor to us for years. And without some of these injuries, I don't think that that we get a chance to see him. So there are some bright spots, and I do think that every game that happens, hopefully we are either learning information that helps us in the future, that helps us choose good players for this team, and ideally winning at the same time. But the wins have been tough to come by, so it's been at least nice to see some of these young guys and figure out who we can count on in the future.
And learn how they react, how they deal with things. I look at Ryan Jeffers, he gets sent down. The way he reacted to that to come back a better player is what you're hoping to see from reactions, and we've seen some of that as well this year. Well, hopefully we get a win and some bright spots today from Bailey Ober, maybe even a Griffin Jacks debut. Daniel Adler has been our guest, Twins assistant general manager. The show is Inside Twins. Do stay with us because the pregame lineup card is next right here on your home for Twins baseball.
You've been listening to Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer. Locally owned and operated, it's how memories are created and legends are made.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.